Welcome to Screencast, Kinda Funny's only entertainment-based podcast where we come together and discuss movies, TV shows, and streaming services. We are recorded live every Friday at around 11:30. Oh, a late one today.
We're recorded between 11 and 2.
Right.
Some of that, yeah, some there.
Yeah.
You guys get what you get.
But if you don't have time to watch us live, you can always catch the video on demand on YouTube or Rooster Teeth. YouTube.com/kindoffunny.
Here's what I'll say about Kevin this morning. Everyone, cut Kevin a break. I walked in today.
It's a high strung morning.
And he was
like,
all of our printers and all of our laptops aren't working.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to go watch the Bad Boys for Life trailer 4 times.
Good.
You should. Really loud while fix all that stuff. Because I love the trailer.
If you don't want to see our ugly mugs, you could get our audio on whatever favorite podcast streaming service you like. And if we're not on there, hit up Tim and let him know.
Yeah.
And he will put us there.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Gone today.
Sure. Right?
Oh,
sure.
We'll get to that. I apologize. You had more. Go for it.
If you want to support us and keep this garbage truck rolling, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and support any tier there. If you do the $5 tier, it's the bronze tier, you can submit responses like many of you guys do all the time. I am Kevin Coelho. To my immediate right, one Nick Scarpino.
Hello.
The man with the three-fingered review.
There it is right there.
There it is.
And there's a lot of good trailers this week that I think are going to hit. Some are going to hit up here. Most of them are going to be just right in the middle here.
Yeah.
Right in the middle here.
Yeah, everyone's favorite. Yeah.
Right here.
I don't think anyone's the trailers that we watched will hit right here.
Yeah.
Maybe the Christmas one. But I think that's actually going to be fairly entertaining.
Yeah.
From the looks of it. I like that Imogen Poots. How do you say your last name?
I have no idea who you're
talking
about.
No idea.
The main character in that, what's it called? Black Christmas? Christmas?
Black Christmas.
Black Christmas. Yeah. The main character in that, her name's Imogen, I think, Poots.
That's a good name. I like that
name. It's
a
weird.
Lot.
She was in a movie I liked a lot, but I can't remember what
but
it is.
But before we go more into that, to your right, my left, one Joey, the movie bros herself, Noelle.
Hello.
Joester.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, just
life.
About to jump into some housekeeping.
Some movies?
Poots. Here's the housekeeping.
Oh, her.
Maybe Joester has
from
more.
Need for Speed.
I now want to see. Let me see.
No, that's not the movie I'm thinking of for her. You know her. She's been in stuff.
I have no idea who this is.
All right. I'll find the go ahead.
We're
I'll find the touchstone
on it.
While we're doing
a little quick housekeeping before we jump into more stuff. Greg and Fran are in Texas doing some sort of
Borderlands
3
launch party.
Yeah. They are doing
we'll
launch
be hosting
party,
their stream here.
Hell yeah.
Around, I think, 4 o'clock our time.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I wrote, can you find them?
If you're at the Borderlands 3 launch party,
find
you can
them.
Probably
know we
find
sent
them.
You.
It
if
probably
you do,
won't be that hard if there's a stage. I would just keep
but
an eye out on there.
I don't know where in Texas it is. Is it
either.
Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay, it's
Dallas.
In Dallas. Anyone in Dallas, go and find them.
If you find them, just send Kevin a picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Please tweet at me a photo of them. Preferably without their consent.
Yeah. Definitely get them eating or bathing.
Next thing I want to bring attention to is at kindoffunny.com store, we have the Connect. I'm still pimping the Connect 3
oh,
and 5.
God,
hell yeah, you are.
Between 3 and 5 shirt and the blue hoodie, which is back with a vengeance.
It's back.
Yeah, people are excited about that.
It's very exciting.
Also, I want to do a shout out to our Patreon producers, Al Tribesman.
Oh, wait, I have to do the Predator voice.
It's good.
Andy does it better.
And David Mintel.
The mind freak. Street magician.
Joey,
if you're going to be on the show, Joey.
I expect you to
do the mind freak.
What the thing is.
Mind freak.
I did it. I did whisper it.
But it was so late.
I know. I was like, am I supposed to do
it? It was like, nobody wants a birthday cake when it's not their birthday,
Joey. I didn't realize
Joey.
That there was a call and response aspect
always,
to
it's
it.
Just, cool. We're just kind of feeling the wave together here.
And then shout outs to, we're sponsored by Postmates and HelloFresh. More about that later. First,
exciting.
Let's discuss what we watched this week.
Mm.
Nick, you watch anything good this week?
I finally finished Star Trek. The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it, I'll be honest, I don't know if I finished it. There's a possible, it's possible that I've skipped a few seasons in there because I was like, I don't think I watched 7 seasons of the show, but I've seen all of them at one point. I decided to go back and watch
them. That's cool.
Them.
That's rad. I didn't know
and
you were doing
I,
this.
I didn't know that. It was one of those moments where I was like, I know how the series ends, and the series, if you're not familiar with the ending, is very, very, it ends on a very, very low, very, very beautiful note where all throughout the seven seasons of Star Trek, the officers, the people that run the ship, Riker, Deanna Troi, Worf, Data, and Geordi LaForge, they all get together for a weekly poker game, but Picard never comes. And the last episode, the very last scene, is he comes and they're like, oh, Captain, is there something wrong? And he's like, I was just hoping I could join you guys tonight. And he sits down and they let him shuffle and he's like, I should have done this a long time ago. And then it's the last shot. It's just him dealing the cards while we pull out. And the whole you see all the main characters sitting around the table just like playing cards with each other,
and beautiful.
I knew that was going to be the case, and when we got to that scene, I was like, "Am I on the last episode? Shit!" And then I looked, I was like, "Oh, I got one more left," and it wasn't. It was the world's worst behind the scenes retrospective starring Jonathan Frakes, who plays Will Riker.
Oh, okay, yeah,
and it's the cheesiest.
Is he just talking about the chair thing?
No, he talks about a lot of the tropes that went into it, or the things that became things in Star Trek, like the Picard straightening, or he didn't talk about his chair thing. I think people didn't notice that till years later.
Yeah,
but this is like as they were filming the last episode, he was doing this behind the scenes thing. It's the cheesiest, most 90s thing you've ever seen in your life. Where he's like, I'm sitting in wardrobe. Do you know what wardrobe is? Let me tell you. And everyone's like,
so interesting.
He's weird.
He's very weird. Joey, do you know about the chair thing?
No, I don't. I don't know really anything about
Star Trek. There's a super cut of it we can find.
Okay.
So I'll just explain it. Will Riker, first commander of the Enterprise, he's like number one. He always calls him number one because he's like the number one in charge after the captain. Mm-hmm. Every single time he sits in a chair.
Every single time.
For some reason, he instead of just walking to the side and sitting down, because he's so tall, he just loops his leg over it and sits down.
There's a super cut
of him doing this for seven seasons straight. Every fucking time
and
he walks into
it. No one really noticed until
nobody
after?
Noticed it.
Yeah.
It's similar to like the Picard. Every time Picard stands up, he straightens his thing, which is like, that has a name too. There's all these little tiny things that the actors had to do because either they just didn't notice they were doing it until too long and that just became a habit, or because the uniforms were fucked up or whatever.
I like to think Will Riker was like, no, this is my thing.
This is a character choice.
Yeah, it seems like it. Because some of the times in the supercut, you'll see, and it's like, that was difficult for him to pull off.
There's a couple of them that you're like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's actually harder to do that than sitting like a normal human being. So I finished that, and then I started watching a series on Netflix called Rust Valley Restorations.
Okay, it sounds like a you series.
Yeah. It is a bunch of guys up in Canada. Up in the Rust, I guess there's an area called Rust Valley in Canada, and it's just about a guy who's trying to get his restoration shop off the ground. He's been a car collector. I think he had a contracting business that he did quite well with, and then he has spent basically all of his money buying used, like old, junked out cars, and he has 400 of them on a lot. And it's about him and his kid, like basically his kid's
400.
Like, we are starting this business, or you're going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So we need to start selling cars now. And so it's like him not wanting to restore stuff, or like not wanting to sell stuff. It's fascinating.
That sounds like some shit I'd really get into.
You'll really like it, I think. And you know, it's all classic cars, but it's very weird because up until this point, I watch a lot of Motor Trend still, and I'm somewhat familiar. I'm not a gearhead by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm somewhat familiar with the old Chevelles, or you know, the old Dodgers, or the old Mopars, whatever. They had different names in Canada and different bias. So I'm like, whoa. I was like, what's a Beaumont? And it's like, so I'm learning this whole new education of like what the American cars with the Chevys, Fords and stuff did when they were manufactured in Canada, the differences between those cars, the brands, how they were marketed. It's just cool to see. Plus they say
weird,
A lot, but they're all crazy. I've come to the conclusion that anyone that works on cars or restores cars for a living is a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just a little.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, if you buy a ton of cars and like you have to be kind of forced into doing like, hey, we're going to lose all our money because you've spent it all on these junkers.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was a very fascinating series. I'm sure I've watched other real relevant movies. I just can't remember any of them now.
No worries.
I have to start writing stuff down because I could just never remember.
Yeah.
I always write stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
I've started doing that as my thing.
I apologize. There is one. I watched a documentary on Netflix about steroid use in baseball.
Oh,
and it is fucking hilarious. Barrett, can you Google it for me? Just put steroids, Netflix, baseball, Alex Rodriguez. You'll find it. It's called Screwball, I think.
So many Screwball. Words.
Let me look it up. It is.
Was it good?
Awesome.
Yeah, Screwball.
And yes. So here's what it. So this documentary is narrated by the people that were in it. It is about the steroid scandal that affected a bunch of Major League Baseball players, including Alex Rodriguez, which led to his suspension for like 100 and some odd games, and MLB's kind of MLB's role in it and how originally they were like, eh, we're
guys are hitting a lot of home runs. Keep going.
Because evidently the home run race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa really helped bring back a lot of money into the league after the strike, all this jazz. But it's told from the perspective primarily of the guy, the doctor, Tony Bosch, who was the one that was giving them the steroids. Ooh. And how he was not really a real doctor, but he had a medical license, but it was from like Belize and how like,
right.
He, you know, and so the, and it, but it's fascinating because it paints the whole picture of all, how all that came about and how steroid use is propagated in both just mostly in sports, but also in just like private industry where you can go and quote unquote to like these youth facilities where they help facilities. Well, they call them like rejuvenation.
Yeah.
So you regain your youth. Yeah. And largely the way you do that is just a fucking bucket of testosterone and a bucket of anabolic steroids and HGH. But it works because people are like, fuck, I feel like I'm 20. You know, and the people, of course, in this are just utter idiots who are just, it never ceases to amaze me the people that have zero scruples. Like when you hit that crossroad of a human being that has no morals or scruples, a little bit of knowledge, and then he then is just too stupid to realize what he's doing is eventually going to lead to his downfall.
Yeah.
You get hilarity. Now I'll say this: one of the reasons that I love this is because they do dramatic reenactments.
Oh yes, I love them.
Little kids.
So as the guy's talking, it's little kids.
Yeah,
dressed as them.
That's Joey has like the IMDb page open. Yep.
So that guy, that's the kid that plays A-Rod, and it has a. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were touchscreen. It has a purpose. At first, you're like, this is off-putting. But the purpose is, as you start to realize, the reason why the feds came after, like, what's the Drug Enforcement FTC? Agency?
No.
The DEA?
The DEA came after him was not because of baseball players. They're like, we don't give a fuck if a bunch of millionaires are going to roid each other up and, like, play baseball. It's because he started giving people started realizing he was the one that gave him to, like, Manny Ramirez and A-Rod. And so parents started bringing their kids to him. And so he got popped because they were like, we actually don't care so much that you're giving them to adults. It's that you're giving them to high school kids now.
That's crazy.
And that's why you have to. And so that's why you, by the end of it, and I just kind of spoiled the end a little bit, but the story is so fascinating. It's worth watching. But by the end of it, that's why they use the kids.
Whoa.
Because they, to show you that like kids are seeing this in a different perspective and they don't get it, that they're going to start taking growth hormones in a time when their bodies are still growing and it'll severely fuck up their endocrine system and like some of their potentially organs. It was fascinating, but they're also fucking idiots. Like, it's like watching Firefest. We're like, how stupid do you have to be to have just gone through with this whole thing?
Sounds really good. It's on Netflix, huh?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Cool. And it's so absurd because the guy, even himself, Tony Bosch, the doctor, he's an absurd character. He's just, they're all completely ridiculous. The guy that blew the whistle on him is a fucking moron, but it's hilarious. And it's like, and then it's told from the perspective of like the guy that wrote all these stories on him. And they were like, he was just like, he's just the guy that's actually writing for like the Miami Times, or whatever. It's just, he just shakes his head most of the time. Like, how dumb do you have to be to do this shit? But they got away with it for a really long time. So it is what it is.
Well, I mean, until it was affecting kids, like I get that.
That's when they kind of, he kind of skated by. Mm-hmm. And he obviously had a lot of the problems as well. Like, you know, a lot of these guys turn to crime or turn to these things that are not exactly on the up and up because they have lifestyles that they need to keep up. Or at one point he was like, I have $60,000 worth of child payments, drinking bills, and cocaine. And the guy's like, how much of that was cocaine? He's like, oh, it was most of it. It was cocaine. The child support was like $4,000. The cocaine was like $56,000 a month. So anyway, I highly recommend this, especially if you're a baseball fan and you don't know the ins and outs of the story. I think it's very, very fascinating.
Oh, that's cool.
Super interesting.
Joe, did you watch anything of note?
I did. Let me pull up my notes because I don't forget. So I'm going to start with the older things that I started rewatching. Rewatching Supernatural because I realize I'm not current on it.
15 seasons.
I know.
Yeah, and you got a lot to catch up.
I've watched it all through like season probably 8 or 9 before, maybe 10. But I can't really remember what happens in like anything after season 5. So that's where I started again. I just really like it and I want it. I think this next one is the last season.
Yes. Yeah.
So I kind of want to just catch up and watch that and see how it ends.
So possibly up to 10 seasons.
Yeah. But it, I feel like that's such an easy thing to like
absolutely
throw in the background. Yeah. Especially because I've watched like three or four of them in the middle.
Also, I don't think this is a show that requires like deep attention.
No, I was doing artsy craftsy stuff while I was doing it. So I started doing that. Oh, that was close. I started watching Jane the Virgin, which just ended.
Interesting.
Season three or four. I really like Gina Rodriguez. So I was like, I've watched only episodes here and there. So I started that from the beginning. That's another one that's like very easy to just put on in the background.
And just have on.
Have on.
It was sitcoms, right?
Yeah. It's like the telenovela style, and it's really fun.
It was, I believe, they aped the story from a Latin telenovela.
Probably, yeah. Because they have like the narrator line and stuff like that, all that kind of stuff. I watched season three of The Good Place to prep for season four.
Sure.
It's a lot. It's so interesting how each season of The Good Place feels wildly different than the one before it.
I feel like I enjoyed the first half of the first season, and then I've just been watching it since then because I wanted to be.
I thought the whole first season was really good.
I feel like it loses it. Anyways, but yeah, I'm going to watch the fourth season when it comes. Yeah.
Did not expect the like last episode to like hit me as hard as it did. There was like some real emotional moments in there.
But I feel like a lot of those emotional moments come out of like they're created for that episode where you're like, we haven't seen this before. And it's like, it's still
all built up.
It hit me too.
Yeah. So that was really good. Let me look at my notes. We'll talk about this more later, I think, maybe. The new season of Great British Bake Off starting. So that's on Netflix.
That's a new story.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the episodic nature of it. But it's just such a good, wholesome show.
It makes me want to eat.
Really?
That's my only problem. As I watch it, I go, I got to get something sweet. I got to get a piece of cake in me or something.
I
just
look
at these people making stuff.
Did you rewatch the old seasons?
I started to.
Okay.
But the problem is my entry point was not the Mary Berry seasons. Mm-hmm. It was the newer ones. And I was like, I kind of just like this better because the show just looks better.
Right.
It's shot more beautifully. I think the hosts at this point, like, I just like the vibe of the new host, which I know is sacrilege because Mary Berry is
a god. Paul Hollywood's
still in it, though.
I know, but their dynamic together, I feel like, is so much better than the dynamic he has with the new woman.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like the woman's name, who was his counterpart, I feel like she's got a little bit more to say than Mary Berry, though. Like, she pushes him a little more. Mary Berry was always, like, the grandmother, and, like, Paul Hollywood was, like, the grandson that was just acting up, and she's like, oh, he'll figure it out. This new one is like, shut up, Paul. You're dumb.
I like the old hosts better, too, Sue and...
I can't remember. The other ones. I don't mind the hosts now. They're always just a little...
Noel is so kooky, and that's even saying something, because I feel like he's more reserved in this than he's been in anything else.
Yeah.
I don't hate them by any means, but
I mean,
I think it's just going to take more getting used to. The more of the new stuff I watch, I assume the more I'll like it.
To me, the power of the show really is just that it's so fun to watch these people bake.
It is. Here's this accountant who just like bakes these crazy cakes and like pastries.
And at the end of the day, like you get
that. I don't understand the appeal of the show.
The stakes are the appeal of the show to me is that the stakes are only as high as like, look, these people love this thing. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not trying to be professional bakers. Whereas you see, like, you watch Top Chef and these people. People legitimately want to win Top Chef because it's such a big accolade that they can go and start restaurants you know, and have a bigger, you know, they have more versatility. Whereas most of these people are like, I am a guard, like I'm an accountant and I just love making puff pastries. And then they win and they're like, cool. And they catch up with them like, what have you been doing? Like, just making puff pastries. Yeah. With the exception of, there's been a few people that have turned it into a career.
Be like, I'm not doing this.
Some people realize they're starting to realize that. But I also, the stakes are just like, you know, I watch a lot of reality TV here in the States. I watch Below Deck, and it's mostly just like made up bullshit. It's made up drama that they put these people together and like write these storylines.
Bachelor in Paradise, man.
Perfect example.
It's on every week.
So it's nice. It's nice to watch a reality show.
Is it twice?
Bachelor in Paradise is Monday and Tuesday nights.
Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ.
For 2 hours each. It's a lot.
No wonder I feel like I'm always watching it.
Yeah.
That's just terrible.
Panzer G2 in the chat says, what's Below Deck? The quick answer to that is it's everything. It's everything.
And let's move on. Joey, anything else you're watching?
The last thing I started watched was Falling in Love on Netflix.
What is
this? This is a Netflix rom-com starring one Christina Milian,
this is the one with
2000s
the house?
Pop star. Yeah, so she plays a architect,
sure.
Maybe something,
something like that.
Thing that I don't really care about.
Let's call her civil engineer.
Yeah,
I'm
something
watch
like
the
that.
Shit out of this weekend.
in San Francisco, and she works for a startup.
Here.
Yeah, it's here. Yeah. Weird city shots, but
she get fired?
No, it's a startup, so it just disappears.
Oh.
So then she when she threw out that little intro part, there she gets a pop-up for like you could win an inn, like a bed and breakfast in New Zealand.
In love.
Yes. In New Zealand.
I just got
and
it,
so
sorry.
Then after she gets laid off or whatever.
It closes.
Yeah. Then she gets a notification that she wins this inn. She's very excited. She's like, I don't have anything else going for me. I'm going to move to New Zealand. And then she gets there and it's
all
like,
broke down.
Yeah, super broke. And then it's
good day.
That's
is it one
the
of the
story.
Hemsworth brothers?
No, but it's another Australian guy.
Adam
even though
Demos.
It's set in New Zealand, seems kind of weird.
Well,
he's really attractive.
We haven't quite, he's not bad looking at all. We haven't quite evolved as a species to realize that the New Zealanders and the Aussies are different people. But you know what? They're all just so charmingly lovely. They're all just so charmingly lovely that that's what. Listen, if you're out there, if you're a Kiwi or you're an Aussie and you're out there and you're thinking.
I think Kiwi's not a good term.
I thought it was a fine term.
I think.
I think it's.
I don't know.
Really?
Really?
There was a movie with some bridesmaid or. No, not bridesmaids. I think they were like. She like stops them and she's like, you know, it's not a good term, right?
Yeah, my apologies.
No, no, no.
If
I mean,
you're a New
I don't
Zealander
think it's a bad
or
term.
Someone from Australia, just know that the reason we mix you up is because we find both of you, both of you to be just lovely human beings, just charming and lovely. That's why.
Yeah, do you like it?
Yeah, it's, I would say on my list of Netflix rom-coms, it's obviously To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
No, yes.
And then a significant margin drop, I feel like. Then I think Something Great with Gina Rodriguez is my next one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
But this it is a far cry away from All the Boys.
And then it might be this one. It might be that Sierra Burgess one. I don't know.
There's a new one that popped up.
It's not this one.
They're like Eyes for You or something like that. Or like
I don't know
another,
what that is.
It's another high school one.
Oh, no. Okay. That's a different one.
Hold on. I'll find it. You guys can go on.
Is this the one about the really tall girl? Did you see that one? That trailer is really
I believe that's
bad.
Called Tall Girl. And like I was like, should I put this in so that Joey could talk about it?
Well, first off.
Because that trailer looks
it
awful.
It does not
we
look good.
We need to talk about The Perfect Date because that was a great one, too. The Noah Centineo
one. Oh, yeah.
One.
I did like that one.
That was fantastic. I don't know. I don't know. They're all the same.
And then... I'm Not Legend also says Set It Up, which I always kind of forget about because it was so much earlier
that's the one where
than the other
like
ones.
The two assistants are trying to set up their
with Taye Diggs.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That one's also
Taye
really
Diggs
good.
Is such a cool name.
How the fuck did they get cool Christina Milian? Yeah. She was like, yeah,
I have
do it.
No idea. Apparently, that's just what she's.
I'm gonna
doing.
Move on to the list of stuff that I've watched.
Okay.
So I was on a plane and I watched quite a bit. I was on several planes.
Oh geez.
Way too many planes for how little I traveled. I think it was 5 planes total. Doesn't matter.
That's a lot of planes.
Yeah, it was a lot of planes. The first thing I watched was Greta.
Oh, the scary one.
It was awful.
Yeah.
That's
what
a bummer because I wanted to see it.
The actors look like they'd be like, they're all cool actors. And it's just like, none of them were good. I don't understand. Like, I've seen them all in other stuff.
Yeah.
And they're great. They weren't good in this.
Yeah, that did. That look, it looked kind of cool, though, the trailer for Greta.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
That's the one where the older woman is like, kind of helps the younger woman, but then starts to stalk her and like,
she's leaving purses everywhere and like stalking. It's not a good movie, though. Don't watch it. Okay. Stay away from it. Unless you're on a plane, which is the situation I found myself in.
Yeah.
In which case, like, all right, whatever. Be disappointed, you know? Don't take my advice. Then I also watched Hellboy, the new one.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That one got torn. Apart.
It's because it's real bad.
How?
So they were like, hey, you know what Guillermo del Toro did? Like, yeah, it was really cool. Let's try to do that, but not be as good.
Yeah.
And that's what they did.
Yeah, like, that's unfortunate.
They redo the scene where he like comes into the world for the first, like, and they do it terribly. And it's like, this is worse than the one that already happened. Why would you...
That's
like, this is shot poorly.
That's
anyways.
So bad. That's so sad. And it's bad for David Harbour, because I like David Harbour a lot.
I don't know if I liked him in it, though.
No,
really?
I mean, probably
well, just
not.
Like, because, you know, you can be a bad movie with a bad plot and
have good
still
acting.
Have a good actor, but it just, there's so much makeup on him, and he, like, has trouble talking. He's the sheriff from...
Yeah, Ron Perlman. Yeah. I think Ron Perlman had the same problem with the makeup when he did the role.
But I felt like it's something about his felt better.
Maybe. And that's unfortunate. Well, guess what? It tanked, so they're not making another one anytime soon. Hellboy's probably dead.
Then I rewatched Captain Marvel.
What'd you think? What'd you think upon second viewing?
I didn't like it as much the second time, but you know, it's fine.
That's a lot. That happens to me a lot with the Marvel movies where you're like, okay.
Good for one, and then...
Yeah, it was fun, and then you go back and you're like, it's mid-tier.
I disagree. There's a lot of great Marvel movies.
Well, no, there's a lot
Ant-Man's.
That are fun to rewatch, but the Ant-Mans are...
amazing. Like Ant-Man 2, they're good. They're
This is fun. But then you get about halfway through and you're like, man, and the ghost character and all that
stuff. I feel like, Ant-Man is like.
I really enjoy Ant-Man.
Very solid mid tier.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, that is just because the MCU ranking is so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Par excellence.
Yeah. Then I started watching. The Righteous Gemstones.
What's The Righteous Gemstones?
The Righteous Gemstones
is a new HBO show by something McBride.
Oh, is that on?
Yeah, it started. There's three episodes out right now. Phenomenal.
Is it great?
Oh, it's so good.
This is Danny McBride, Adam Devine, John Goodman.
John Goodman.
And it's, yeah, this looks the heck. It has everything for me.
So good. It's very enjoyable. I hate that it's episodic just because, like, it's so good that I'm ready for the next episode. What was cool is we watched it after we had come back from our trip, mm-hmm. and we did another trip to Calistoga, and we were hanging out, mm-hmm. and, like, that's what we did for those, like, 4 hours because the first episode's really long. It was
Are they
awesome.
Hour-long episodes?
I think so.
I would imagine
They might
so.
Be 45 minutes.
Okay.
It's so funny,
but
though.
The first one's, like, an hour and a half.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I love I HBO shows that, so much, mm-hmm. and I think that they still make some of the best programming out there. But the fact that they don't release all of them at once is unfortunate because I don't think I finished the last two seasons of Ballers. I think I was there current, and then I had a trip that came up, and then I totally forgot about it.
But for me, like, that's not necessarily a bad thing because, like, the waiting is intense.
Yeah, and then they dominate the conversation for so long, right. especially with something like
with season five coming and being the final season. Like, now we can watch everything because I only watched the first season, and I want to watch the rest of Ballers. So I might. Binge that and then watch the last season and get all excited.
Just get into it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Next thing I watched, I tried to watch Dark Crystal.
Oh.
Just could not get into it.
It doesn't look.
It's
like everyone says it's really good,
it's
but it's just
beautiful.
Not my thing.
I think I need to rewatch the movie because I just.
It's hard to get through.
I cannot care about anything that's going on.
Mm.
I think the whole first episode, and I was just like, this isn't for me. So I switched it over to The Naked Director.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like this show.
Yeah.
I watched all of it. I watched all of season one. I think it's just season one out right now. And it's just, I don't understand why I kept watching. I kept wanting it to be good.
Yeah.
So many of the best friends recommended it.
You're so much more forgiving than I am. I'll watch the first episode of something. If I get 5 minutes in and it doesn't hit me, I'm like, nope, done. Mm-hmm. Not for me.
You won't even finish the first episode.
Oh, I'll just bail out. Right. It feels so good to just bail out. I don't need to finish this shit. If you can't get me interested in within the first 10 minutes of your show, you're not going to get me by the end of the episode. That's not going to happen.
There was just something about the editing in that. And I think maybe it's because it's foreign.
Yeah. It's Japanese, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It were just
have a different style.
Like, they just felt like they were doing bigger jumps where it's like, what happened to this thing?
Yeah.
What happened to this thing that it's like the whole first three episodes about? And now you're just doing this other thing, or first two episodes. So for whatever reason, I continued just in hopes that, like,
something
I would enjoy
was
going to
get
yeah.
you at some point.
Some of the characters are cool, and I like the relationships.
Yeah.
And it just was so highly recommended. I'm disappointed in you all.
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to give a quick shout out. I was looking for the name of the Netflix rom-com that I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to this list that says 20 new romantic comedies to have on your radar in 2019.
Ooh.
The top. This is from OprahMag.com.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
This is written by Michelle Darasaw. And the first one is Falling in Love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which I'm like, cool, I'm going to watch that. Next one is The Last Summer, which may or may not be the one that I was thinking of.
I love that you didn't figure it out.
The third one is Plus One, which I have no idea. Oh, that's the one with Jack Quaid, which looks cute.
Which is already out.
Release date June 14th, 2019. Yeah, so yeah, it's already out. Fourth one is The Sun Is Also a Star, which is a movie that I thought I might want to see.
Wanted to see it too.
But then I'm going to give a questionable shout out to number five, Under the Silver Lake.
Definitely
not a rom-com.
No, not at all.
Not a rom-com
at all.
In any stretch of the fucking imagination,
that's
is this a
list.
Rom-com.
We'll walk away from it.
So clearly this writer did not watch all these movies. She just saw the preview for this and was like, oh, it must be a rom-com. If you're going, I dare you to go to Under the Silver Lake thinking it's a rom-com. Go for it.
Take your significant other with you, but
tell her it's just a lovely little indie rom-com starring Andrew Garfield and Riley Keough, and just see how she reacts about 20 minutes in.
A couple more things on my list that I want to go over. This next one caught me off guard real hard.
Okay.
I went in being like, I don't want to watch this. Paul was like, let's check it out. Carnival Row. So yeah. Orlando
is this
Bloom and
HBO one?
No, it's the Amazon Prime one.
Amazon Prime.
What's the girl's name?
I don't know. Let's find out.
She's got real strong eyebrows.
They're Cara Delevingne.
That's it. You nailed it. That's
it. Keep going. Sorry. I got a package being delivered at my house. I got to just dial in. Keep going. It's fine.
Okay. I really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's like a, I don't know, 17th century world where,
okay,
like
Orlando Bloom coming back. I'm into
dude,
that.
Dude, Orlando Bloom is great in it. Where it's like mythical creatures live alongside humans. Hmm. And like they're all like immigrants and like it's just really cool. All of the first season is great. Really enjoyed it. It ends and it's like, man, I want season two. So totally caught me off guard and can't recommend it enough. It was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll throw it on my list. My ever-growing list.
But the problem is, it's a time... What is it called?
Period piece?
Period piece.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, not usually.
That's where you lose Joestar.
I know.
And then I started watching Dairy Girls.
So many people have recommended this to me for so long, and I just...
It's very good.
Really?
It's so good.
Okay, what's... Dairy give me Girls. The pitch. Give me your pitch on it. How about that?
Just high school kids, a bunch of... I think it's four high school girls and one boy at an all-girls Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just them living in the middle of the Troubles, mm-hmm, you know, Ireland and the issues that they had.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal. It's very, very difficult to understand them.
Subtitle one?
Yeah.
Because they're Irish.
But I feel like they're going extra hard.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times the main character's face is, mm-hmm, like super like, and it's like, you're trying to make this difficult.
Yeah.
You're trying. You know that word isn't said that way by any stretch of the imagination.
Hey, man. But shout out to people who mispronounce words on purpose. It's fun. It's an art form.
Yeah, it sure is.
Renaissance.
But
Dairy Girls is so good. Very, very enjoyable. It's two seasons. It's British, so there's six episodes, like, series.
Mm-hmm.
Third one is coming soonish.
Sweet.
Yeah. We also watch It Chapter 2, which we'll talk about later. It's good. Right?
Yeah.
It's
good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the news.
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 Our first news story.
Am I supposed to say something with that one too?
No.
Okay.
That one was just free flow.
Nick's actually not supposed to say anything. It hurts Barrett's feelings.
I actually liked that one this time, though.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Good luck keeping me away from the mic. Good luck.
Our first news story. One that I don't think any of us are super interested, but I'm putting in there because people give me shit when I don't talk about news stories that I think, like, you know, that are like relevant, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sci-fi video game franchise and book series Metro 2033 is getting a movie adaptation. There's really no information further than that. No directors, no dates. I've got some stuff here about the Metro 2033. I know some people like it. I feel like the last game came out, won a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
There's
this
like
is not going to be a huge
or
deal.
Yeah.
I don't think if
will
anyone,
it actually get made?
Probably, maybe
video game movies, man.
But I'm sure it'll get made with a smaller budget, and it probably will be a slightly limited release, and it probably won't be all that great.
Yeah.
But for those of you out there thinking that the Metro 2033 movie is going to be the first video game adaptation to movie that really breaks open the floodgates, you're gonna have to think again. It's not gonna be.
I don't disagree with you.
Sorry, it's hard to spoil everyone's expectations.
Are you spoiling them or are you just...
Setting them, yes. Tempering them, as they say.
Moving on to our next story. Cobra Kai Season 1, now available for streaming for free on YouTube with ads.
Now, I'll say this. If you haven't watched the first season of Cobra Kai... Now, I fucked up. I haven't watched the second season yet.
Well, I got some news for you.
Great. What is it?
Let me get through that. For a limited time, the entire first season of Cobra Kai is available on streams for free on YouTube. YouTube is binging the first season of Karate Kid from behind the paywall until September 12th. And YouTube will release Cobra Kai Season 2 episodes weekly, also available for free with ads.
I'm so in.
September 24th, I want to say.
Fucking A.
According to YouTube,
do it earlier so I can download them all.
For your trip.
Can you download them all for YouTube? Can you
no,
do that?
No, starting September 11th.
Prime, premium.
Yeah, if you have the premium.
Well, then
yeah.
I don't need
but then
the,
you, yeah, you don't need,
need
they
the
wouldn't
free.
Have to for free.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just
use
do it for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, dude, I'm telling you right now, Cobra Kai, I have no idea how season two is. I haven't seen the reception of it because it kind of was a flash in the pan for season one,
yeah,
for me at least. But season one is so good. It's so good. And I can't imagine they fucked up season two. So go watch it. It's great.
You have until September 12th.
Great.
And then it'll maybe go weekly. the article was unclear. And then season two will start coming out. Also, maybe weekly. Unclear.
A lot of
but like what's important is you've got a limited amount of time to watch this, and people have said for a long time this is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
So
people are saying season two is nuts. I can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm reading it as a good thing.
Our next news story, mm-hmm. one that I'm extremely excited for.
Ooh.
Start your nuclear doomsday clocks. HBO Watchmen's just got a premiere date.
Yeah, ooh. Buddy.
When is it?
October 20th, 2019.
Right around the corner.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. I still have no idea what the show is. It sounds like it's a total reimagining of stuff where they're changing the story. I'm excited. I'm in.
Yeah.
I hope this is good. HBO. Doesn't steer you wrong most days, you know?
Yeah.
Except for the ending of the last season, you know, of shows.
You gotta let it go.
I never will. Nick, you interested at all for this Watchmen?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the shit out of this. Mm-hmm. Definitely. In fact, I've asked my wife to please not cancel HBO so that I can watch this. Now, again.
Well, that was very sincere sounding.
Now, again, as to whether or not she listens and or
follows through,
that's up to her.
Not a chance.
She has an island all to her own, mm-hmm. and one day I'll just go and it won't be there and we just don't ask questions. It's gone. The war continues.
Well, that'd be a bummer.
Yeah.
Do you have an iPad?
No. Okay. I have a phone.
No, you don't want to watch on your phone.
I watch a lot of stuff on my phone.
Yeah,
yeah. So here's what I do on the reg, as the kids say. My wife will be watching something like the Real Housewives of whatever god awful city these horrible human
Potomac.
Beings are from.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. Like she
is
would
that
usually
really a show.
Usually I LA and New York, one. I think, are the two that she watches a lot.
Yeah, because she and I split because mm-hmm. she watches LA, New York, and I watch Orange County and Jersey.
Yeah.
Do you get together and talk about what's happening in?
Whenever I see her, we usually talk about it.
And so I will, she'll watch that on the big TV and I'll pretend to watch YouTube videos or other series like streaming as I'm actually watching it as well. But I can't let her know that.
Sure.
Because Kevin, we can't let them win.
No.
We can't.
I'll never watch Bachelor in Paradise. Never.
I
regardless of how much it's on.
Understand.
And how much I care about that one guy.
The appeal
John
of
Paul
the
Jones?
Show. Yeah. I don't get it. But I also
John Paul Jones
watched.
Is just such a lovable idiot.
He seems
he's
stupid.
He's so dumb. He's very dumb.
He's tanking real fast, though.
I didn't
love
watch,
his last couple episodes.
I didn't watch this last episode. But yeah, like he had the like super rebellious like fight where he goes up to the guy
and
won't
Derek.
Listen to him.
Yeah. Lost a lot of good graces in that one.
Really? Derek's not a bad person?
I think Derek's fairly boring,
but he was
John Paul Jones was just like, bro, what was that about? Why are you just like coming at him randomly about this? Also, had no idea Derek had a podcast before John Paul Jones made a big deal about it. So now they're getting a ton of publicity, I'm sure.
That's cool. Was it planned? You know?
I'm sure.
What the
entire show is
about? Oh, Doomsday. Yeah, I'm excited about it, too.
I think it looks great. God bless Don Johnson. They brought him back from the dead, which is great. And it's got a great cast. It's good. It looks dope.
I'm sorry.
Next news story. Netflix changes the Great British Baking Show to weekly releases. Mm-hmm. Are you guys pissed? What's happening? How
no,
are we taking this?
I think they're doing it, if I'm not mistaken, to coincide with the fact that they're still airing. So
yeah.
Like we're current now, which
we get
makes
them
sense.
3 days after the UK.
Yeah, which I kind of like. Again, this show for me is not necessarily a hill worth dying on as far as like how I consume it. Most likely what I'll do is just let the entire season spool up and then I'll just go back and watch it because I really don't care who wins.
Have you been watching at all this
We
season?
Went, no. I mean honestly, I haven't watched it in maybe 6 months.
Oh, really? Oh,
I haven't watched
it. Might be two at this point, but.
I whittled my way through about 5 seasons before I started getting lost because the seasons were coming out weirdly in like a weird... Like you had current seasons and then it kind of jumped a little bit and I was like, oh, this looks bad.
Yeah, there was
this
a chunk
like
that
from
they
20
didn't
years ago.
Upload on you on Netflix as far as I know.
So we'll get back into it probably once we have more. But I, you know, again, I do get invested in who wins, but it's more just about seeing these lovely.
I thought you just said you didn't get invested
to a
in
degree.
Who wins.
I do get invested.
You have your favorites that
you
have
your
faves,
and you know you end up rooting for people. But at the end of the day, it really is just about watching these lovely British people be lovely to each other and make some beautiful and some not so beautiful pastries, and it's very relaxing. Mm-hmm. So I'll take it as it comes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For me, the Great British Baking Show or whatever phrasing they use for it because it's different than the BBC one. Is not
is it a different show than the
no
news?
They just it's
they
because Pillsbury has the trademark here
which is such a weird thing
I know,
to
it's super,
bake off right or something like that
I think so I'm not invested enough in the Great British Baking Show to watch it on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of like Nick,
yeah.
Where it's like It's because it's so nice and lovely and it's not like hyper competitive.
Right. It unfortunately does not stoke that part of your brain where you're like, I have to be a part of this fucking war right now online. You're just like, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's just like, I love this. Yeah. So I'm excited to watch it, but I don't think this will be one that like I keep up with week to week versus if they release like Queer Eye week to week, I feel like that would be one that I'd be like, oh my gosh, I need the next one. I want to see it. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see.
You get upset if that happened? Or would you just be like, all right, cool, it's not my routine?
Because I feel like I probably would be annoyed, like, because it's, I feel like the last couple seasons have come out after we've had big events, like E3 and stuff like that, so it's been fun to come home and just, like, binge everything. I think if they were like, hey, we're going to make it weekly, but we're going to make it 12 episode seasons instead of the, like, 6 to 8 that they do, I'd be like, okay. I feel like I'd be, because it's just, like, we get more of it.
I feel like that's a big question for me, whether I like the weekly content drops, because it's like, Righteous Gemstone, it sucks having to wait. But at the same time, it's like, if you guys are watching it, like with the Disney Plus shows, like it's going to be a lot of fun to come in on Monday or whatever day like after it comes out and like discuss stuff together and like talk about it, you know. So like that appeal is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know that there's...
But the baking show wouldn't work for that. And I don't think... What's the other show you were just talking about?
Queer Eye.
Queer Eye would work for that either. For like coming in and being like, this is what happened last night. Crazy. Yeah.
Well, especially with Queer Eye because it's individual story.
You need like a long overall narrative story that's being told that you can break down.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that I watch week to week. I feel like I usually just wait for like episodes to bank.
You didn't watch Game of Thrones either.
No, I didn't watch Game of Thrones. Even like the weird Hulu shows like 911, which is a not great show.
Never heard of that.
It's one of those like not episodic.
Anthology.
No, it's like where every show is like the same format or like every episode where it's like, I can't remember what it's called. There's like a series term for it. Mr. Yasmin says 911 is a Fox show, not Hulu. Yeah, well, I watch it on Hulu, so that's why.
What are we talking about? Sorry, I was in the chat.
911.
911.
Why?
Oh,
it's like the Peter, whatchamacallit? Procedural. Thank you, Wasted Bandwidth.
That's the one with Angela Bassett and the guy from Peter, 6 Feet Under.
Peter something.
Yeah.
Anyways, but all that stuff where it's like, I just bank them all for like, and watch like 4 episodes in 1 day or something like that. Thank you, Wasted Bandwidth. That was going to drive me nuts.
Our next news story. This is a short one. The Kenobi series for Disney Plus takes place 8 years after Revenge of the Sith.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's 11 years before A New Hope. Will there be 11 seasons to catch up to A New Hope? Probably not. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Is this show going to be good? We'll see. I like the idea. I'm down.
I'm so cautiously optimistic about these shows. Yeah. But... like I said, I mean, I think I was the most lukewarm on the Mandalorian trailer.
Yeah.
I think everyone was really hyped for that. And to me, I really, really hope they don't dip into territory that cheapens Star Wars because we're already on that tightrope as is right now. And so I know that Disney has a better legacy with the Marvel stuff of treating it very, very well. But man, if they fuck up Kenobi for me, like they fucked up Solo for me, I'm going to be really unhappy.
The biggest issue is that like, they have already...
it's already gone, I know.
No, there's like storyline that's already happened on Rebels, the animated show, that is tied into this. Right,
and it's like tied a little bit into things that happen in Solo, and I don't want to like say what exactly.
Darth Maul.
Okay, it's Darth Maul shit. But I think it would be interesting if like... because it seems like Rebels is way closer to A New Hope and Rogue One and stuff. Actually, I think they do confirm that at one point early on in the series. So, yeah, I don't think they would go near that point at all.
Also, I don't want them to, like, I don't know how close it is to Solo when, like, the Solo movie happened. And I don't want there to be a weird
crossover
meeting. Yeah, where it's like, oh, look, old Ben knew Han, and it's just like, well, why would he forget? And like,
why are you retconning?
Yeah.
No,
so I hope that they do this. I hope that we get a totally different story where he's like on Tatooine and he's like, I'm gonna dick off and go try to help other people, and like there's no connection to Maul or any of that other stuff.
There was a book series from like the canon, like the books that aren't canon anymore, that
Legacy.
Yeah, from the Legacy stuff where he went to try to find other remaining Jedi and shit. Right. And I think if that's the premise of the show,
but
I'd be fucking
it's also
down.
Like, don't we know this is one of Nick's things where it's like we know how it concludes where it's like. Doesn't he fail then? Because we didn't see any other Jedi.
That could be his mission. But we could take that premise and make it. Again, this is something I think would be interesting. But who knows? If this is what Disney would do of make it more introspective and shit. Of he's going on this journey to find other Jedi, but at the end of the day, he can't find any.
Dude, that
and
would
it's
be
like,
so
and it's like this
deep.
Really sad, slow journey of him coming to terms of where the galaxy is at this point.
Which would be interesting and kind of do a big contrast to the ending of Last Jedi, where it's,
You're just trying to talk shit about Last Jedi?
No, okay. That was actually serious. Well, that would make it more poignant.
Yeah.
While right now it doesn't mean anything and it's stupid.
Well, now you're trying to be bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Last Jedi is a good movie.
I mean, that's an opinion. A bad one, too.
I refuse to engage.
Good. I'm so proud of you. My hives are coming back a little bit.
I'm above it now.
Let's just quickly discuss our last news story. There it is. Highest paid actors of the year has been announced.
I always like seeing these.
I think they're very interesting. I find it interesting that they separate them, actresses and actors.
Yeah. That's always.
I feel like that's.
That's still my big gripe with overall with Hollywood, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, because it's I feel like there's a big movement to be like, hey, we're all actors. And it's like, I'm down for that, but let's get rid of.
It really is. It really is one of those things.
Then.
Well, it really is one of those things.
Why are there two Oscars?
It harkens back to the Oscars, really, right? When they started, when they did the separation, and obviously it's because you can give more people
awards
in that regard. Yeah. But there really is. For sports, you can make an argument. Yeah, there's a very definitive reason why a 270-pound man shouldn't fight a 130-pound woman. That notwithstanding, there's really no difference between Meryl Streep and George Clooney as far as acting ability because of their gender.
Meryl Streep's way better.
So George Clooney's great. Don't get me wrong. Right. Meryl Streep,
George
though.
Clooney.
So it is kind of silly that it's best actor, best actress, but
how crazy
to each their own.
Meryl Streep's just such a good actress.
She's a badass.
She's so good.
Actor. So, what do we...
Who we got?
Do we want to go... Wow, top 10 of actors. Will Smith, $35 million. Then Paul Rudd.
I love him.
Yeah, $41
million. Yeah, he's beautiful.
He's looked the same for the last 20 years.
Will Smith in the same boat. We were just talking about this before the show started, where a trailer we'll talk about later, where Will Smith still looks great.
Yeah.
I feel like Martin Lawrence
aged more than Paul Rudd, but not in a bad way.
But I think that's just because you haven't seen Paul Rudd young in a long time.
Do you know how often I watch Clueless? All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Me too. Good for you. Then Chris Evans is number 8.
I'm so excited for Knives Out, speaking of Evans.
Oh, man.
We saw a trailer for it again last night.
Yeah, that looks so good. Looks good.
So good.
This is an interesting one. It's a tie. So there's two people from number 6. Number 1 is Bradley Cooper, in this tie.
Yeah.
And then the other one for number 6,
mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler.
What?
It's all that Netflix money.
$57 million.
All that Netflix money.
I don't know who cobbled this list together, but when you have a top 10 list, you don't have two number 6s. That's a top 11 list.
But the problem is they made the same amount.
That's true.
But
so then
you just don't
Will
have
Smith
a 7.
Shouldn't be on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you don't have
if
a
you have
10,
two sixes, then you go
down.
To 8.
But then who would be 6, who would be 5?
You just have 6, 6, and then it goes to 8.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it went.
Crazy.
Yeah.
No, because there's 1.
It's
no,
10, 9,
oh,
8,
yeah, there's
3,
no 7.
4,
you're right.
5.
Sorry.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Okay. Thank
calm
you.
Calm down, people.
Wow.
God damn it.
They nailed it. Whoever compiled this list really
they know
killed
how
it.
Lists
yeah.
work.
It threw me off because the list goes in ascending order. So, descending order.
Descending order, yeah. Which is, I feel like, the way these lists should go.
Not when I'm reading them. Sorry, it's just
no worries, no worries. Then another shocking one as number 5. Jackie Chan,
huge star.
All right,
what was he in?
I
have no
can
idea.
Can someone look up what he was in? Because $58 million is not a small
year,
amount.
2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what's he been lately? I mean, the first one that comes up, Rush Hour, 1998.
Yeah, so that doesn't help
Drunken
me.
Drunken Master, 1978.
Oh,
pulling
good movie.
Pulling it by IMDb.
Who Am I, 1998.
He was in The Night of Shadows Between Yin and Yang, Journey to China, The Mystery of the Iron Mask.
And that's it.
Those are the Climbers,
which hasn't
is
come
in
out.
Post-production.
Yeah,
so
I don't know,
three
man.
Titles.
I think honestly,
I guess they did really well.
It's a possibility that he might have some investments that he produces movies, which is a possibility. Like I'm willing to bet that
then this list is flawed because this is highest paid actors. You would imagine that's for acting, right? Not producing.
And maybe it's residuals. I don't know because I can't imagine that Chris Evans definitely did not get paid $43 million in a single year to be an actor. That must have been residuals from other movies, all the Marvel movies and stuff that he's done.
Perhaps.
Like, we know that Marvel doesn't pay him that much. We know historically they pay him everyone pretty much scale. Well, not scale, but scale for what they do.
Do they?
Yeah, usually that was the big kerfuffle, right?
Robert Downey Jr. played Hella?
With the exception
he's number three.
With the exception of RBJ, who was able to negotiate higher terms. The reason why all the Marvel movies did so well is because they were like, we're not paying you guys outrageous salaries. Everyone's going to take similar salaries, which are going to be like, I think if I'm not mistaken, like sub $1 million for each one of these movies. And we're just going to get you guys in hella shit. But
interesting.
They may have, as they went through, renegotiated some of these things. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't recognize this next one. Number four, Akshay Kumar?
Zach Meininger said Chris Evans made $20 million for Endgame. Yeah, so I guess maybe that what I just said went out the window and they just started renegotiating saying, pay us hella.
Interesting.
He's a Bali, Indian-born Canadian actor, producer, and television personality who works in Bollywood films.
He's making better.
Bollywood is, totally different.
Number four, 65 million.
Big market. Big market.
That's cool. That's interesting to see that thrown in the mix here.
Yeah.
Then we have Robert Downey Jr. as our number three.
RBJ.
Chris Hemsworth as our number two.
Whoa.
More than Robert Downey Jr.
That's crazy.
I feel like he's in more movies.
Well, he also had that Men in Black paycheck. Which
yeah,
he has that
sure
paycheck.
He has
all those great residuals from that last Ghostbusters that came out.
And then number one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there.
No surprise.
At 89 million.
And here's what I love about The Rock, right? Is that The Rock's like, you have Chris Hemsworth and Robert Downey Jr. who make great films and are getting rewarded for that. The Rock goes the other way. He's like, I'm going to be the Costco of filmmaking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to offer bulk. I'm going to make 17 okay films every year.
So I talked with a friend who was at D23 and saw him with all his Jungle Cruise stuff.
Yeah.
She said it looks real fun.
I'm sure it will be.
Jumanji was fun too.
Hobbs and Shaw was moderately fun.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. I was laughing so hard.
Always pretty low on my Fast and Furious ranking.
My problem with The Rock is that he delivers a consistent product, but the product is always a varying degree of, okay.
Yeah.
You know, they're all forgettable movies.
Sometimes great.
I mean, what's the last great movie The Rock
Jumanji,
did?
Jumanji, yeah, that was great.
I don't know if it was great.
It wasn't great.
I enjoyed it a lot.
The last really great movie I think The Rock did, and I have to think back. I'd have to look through his anthology. But the last one I really remember thinking, wow, this actually hits on all cylinders for me, was like the Rundown, which is like the third movie he did. Everything beyond that has just been like, I just don't think he has enough time. I don't think his team has enough time to really develop these movies into something who's truly great. Joey just Googled The Rock.
I didn't Google
in IMDb in search, and it came up with the classic Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery movie, The Rock.
Such a good movie.
And you know what? I'm not even mad at you for that.
Yeah.
I just did it and hit enter because I assumed that it was going to be the first
looked at the list for actresses, and it's very interesting. You will be able to guess who's number two.
Interesting.
Yeah, who do you think number one is?
Well, I already know who it is.
Oh, yeah, we already talked about it. You're right.
Is number two Meryl Streep? No.
No.
No,
is it
going to
be someone weird?
Yeah. Do you want me? Should we go 10 down again? All right.
Sure.
So the first one, Ellen
Pompeo.
I don't know. Who's she?
She's from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
She's been on like 800 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, so she's making bank.
And then Charlize Theron.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
We saw
Elizabeth Moss, another one that's just like, whoa.
Good for her.
It's interesting.
Kaley Cuoco making that last season of
Big Bang Theory
money. Yeah. That's great.
Jennifer Aniston. We didn't even talk about the Birds of Prey thing that we saw last night either.
I was going to get into it when we talked about it during it.
Perfect.
Jennifer Aniston. What the fuck?
I probably another Netflix thing.
She
probably got paid shit tons for that piece of shit movie.
Murder Mystery?
I didn't think it was as bad.
I thought it was a lot funner than I expected, especially with Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler's been putting out crap on Netflix.
You know what it really. I went back and watched Mr. Deeds lately, like when
so
I was.
Good.
Over,
why?
And
it's
one of the.
It's great. Mr. Deeds is a great movie.
So it's. I mean, let's not say it's great.
I think it's great.
It's highly entertaining. And it is very much in the camp of old school Happy Madison, Adam Sandler production movies.
I feel like it's one step away from that. Because the Happy Madison movies, like the true Happy Madison movies, are phenomenal.
I will say that Deeds...
Grandma's Boy was the last of its...
I will say that Deeds still holds up as one of those, like, it feels like an old school Happy Madison movie. It's really fun. It has that style where it's kind of self-aware, and all the characters from all the other movies, all the actors are coming. Steve Buscemi's in it all the fucking time. And then you watch this movie and you go, man, it's so sad that he doesn't care about trying anymore, because this movie is just a hodgepodge of dumb scenes together where it could have been something great.
I felt like his acting was a little bit more, like, he was more stern and, like, but
not
like
goofy. Yeah.
But was, yeah, but like that's what the character called for.
Yeah. I just feel like
I feel like a problem he had with the first batch of Netflix movies that have came out is that he went with, like, I'm going to be super goofy and stuff. And like The Cobbler and all these Click, you know, movies that came out that
First off,
Click is terrible.
Click is great.
Click is terrible. Speed Racer is a good movie. You don't know anything. What?
Click is pretty good.
Click is actually a legit movie. Like, and this is what I'm saying with you guys. I just wish that Netflix would go, hey, we've got Adam Sandler, we've got Jennifer Aniston. Let's do maybe, like, this is my only criticism. Let's just do maybe two more script revisions. Let's just make sure this movie kind of hits the dramatic beats that it needs to hit. And then when you have Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler in a scene together, it'll be fine because we actually care about the story. Where in this one, it's like, okay, she gets to drive, and you're like, okay, that was it. That was the big payoff.
He didn't realize that it was on the other side because the UK.
Charles JJ in the chat also says, "Funny People is an underrated Sandler movie."
Funny People is a great movie.
That's not a Sandler movie.
That's an Apatow movie.
Yeah, it's an Apatow movie with Sandler in it.
Apatow has the opposite problem where he tells too much fucking story, and you're like, bro, you gotta just. Let's cut this down. Like, This Is 40, I thought was great for the first 3 hours. And then after the third hour, I was like, I need this cupcake shit to stop. Like, I don't care if he eats cupcakes anymore. He's skinny. Let him be it. Let him be happy. She doesn't understand what it's like to be married. It's stressful. It's stressful, Jerry.
This Is 40 was definitely for a specific audience.
Yeah, it's for people who are approaching 40, Barrett. Yeah. And you know what? This shit was fucking real, bro.
Was it?
Real.
I thought it was fun. I liked it.
It really, that was one of the only movies I've seen that really kind of looks at marriage between two people who still, like, are like, yeah, we're still friends, but, like, our marriage is not what it used to be, and looks at it in a very real way, which is fun. I don't have kids, though, so my life is infinitely better than them.
Sure.
True. Yeah.
Sure. Number four on the list, Nicole Kidman, earning $34
million. She's getting that freaking Big Little Lies money.
Big Little Lies, yeah.
Getting paid by HBO, dog.
Number three, Reese Witherspoon.
Also getting that Big Little Lies money.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon, actually, and so this is my question.
She's a production thing,
so
too,
she is an actor, but she has a huge production company that produces, she buys all those books and buys all the series that she's really smart. Like, she does the same thing that Seth Rogen does, where they go and they have people that go out and buy,
make things happen
for them. So they know, like, it's this crazy little market, which, if you're not familiar with it, people who are famous authors or who are on the cusp being famous, who've had maybe one good book, they'll get that shit sold. The movie rights will be sold before they even start typing the fucking first page of the next book. And that's just how they scoop up this stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, Reese Witherspoon does that as well.
A friend of Paula's uncle does that. Like, he was it was his fault all those Sharknado movies got made.
Hey.
And like,
lots of people like those movies.
Or, you know, one of the people's faults. But like, it was very interesting talking to him and like how aggressive they are about, like, yeah, if like this might be a popular thing, like, attack it and get it.
Yeah.
The rights to it.
Yeah, it's the old school mentality.
Make it nice and cheap and get it out.
Yeah, make it cheap, make 300 of them, and then one will pay for the entire slate of the next year. Mm-hmm. And it's like the Canon Films model.
Number two.
Sofia Vergara.
Which is that Modern Family money?
It must be.
Is it still going?
Yeah, she's getting paid.
That's crazy.
I mean,
at $44 million, number two on the list.
That's crazy,
right? I didn't think you were gonna guess it, Joey.
I didn't.
And then number one, of course, ScarJo, $56 million.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
ScarJo is such a good actress.
I'm happy for her, man. You know. Good for her. Yeah. She's in that new movie. We're going to talk about her new movie with Taika Waititi that she's in a bit later.
Wait, that's trailer talk, which will come after these ads that I have for you. Our first ad, Postmates. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., Gia. When sushi at 9 p.m., Joey? That was yesterday. We had sushi at 9 p.m. yesterday.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. A breakfast burrito at 8 a.m. That's me. You know that's me. Or ibuprofen at 10 a.m. for Nicholas. Trying to wake up right, you know? Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery for all restaurants and grocery and convenience stores and traditional retailers you could possibly want and need. I have gotten really, really into Postmates. My favorite thing about Postmates is on the app, they like let you track everything that's going on. You order it, it'll be at the thing, and then as soon as it gets picked up, notifies you, and you can see the car moving, and you know how close your food is, and it's so close, so quick. It's also the fastest service. I don't know why. Everything just gets to me within like 30 minutes to an hour, and it's awesome because I'm hungry, so hungry all the time. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. There it is, within the hour. God, it's so good. No more trips to the store. You don't even need to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Paula refuses to go to restaurants that now have Postmates, which is cool and easy because now we don't have to leave our house ever. It's the best. Download the app for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your deliveries in real time. Again, that's my favorite part because you get to know how far it is. Do I sometimes go out of my window and just peek and wait as I see the car coming on the map? I sure do. Oh, I love it. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code KINDAFUNNY. That's code KINDAFUNNY for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmate apps. App. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code KINDAFUNNY. Do it. It's smart. Our next ad, HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit gets easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort level in the kitchen. From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, you'll have everything you need to get wow-worthy dinners on the table in just 30 minutes. Say goodbye to endless grocery stores and trips and take out food. HelloFresh has you covered. Break out your dinner rut.
Rut.
No, I know. I'm just missing a page.
Is it on the back?
No.
Oh, no. Here, I'll find it for you.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry. That's all right.
Well, I got you, big
break out your dinner rut with HelloFresh 20-plus seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. You can get $80 off, right?
Yes, $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/morning80 and enter morning80. It's like receiving 8 meals for free. Once again, that's $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/morning80 and enter morning80.
Nick, can you tell me about those tacos on there?
Because
Tim was talking about them, and it was really upsetting.
So as everyone knows, Gia's making the HelloFresh for Tim because Tim just loves the fact that she makes him food. He's got those sesame beef tacos coming toward him, which he's very, very, very excited about. And here's what I'm going to say, Kevin. We never get the invite, and it's annoying.
I've made a big deal about it. I feel like people are tweeting at her. Just invite us. Just have us over.
They also don't have that big house to have.
I've had
Gio
over several times in my house.
Yes, Kevin has that. Kevin, yes.
Never had any. I make delicious cheese plates. All I want is a little bit of tacos. That's
exactly.
It.
These are, of course, the ones that we're talking about, the sesame beef tacos with quick pickled veggies and chili crema. And then also,
it sounds so good.
Another one that I looked up that I want, Gio is excited about that I want to eat is the cherry balsamic pork chops with garlic, herb, couscous, and roasted broccoli.
Broccoli.
I'll take that for dinner.
What's the code one more time?
Right to the face.
How do we get this?
We go to HelloFresh.com/morning80 and enter the code morning80.
Thank you very much, Nicholas.
You're very welcome.
Now it's time to talk about some trailers.
Woo!
We don't trailers. Talks.
There's no jingle for that, sorry.
I just did it.
No, yeah, Nick just did it.
It was freak nasty.
It was so freak nasty. Our first trailer we're going to talk about is Joker. We got a longer Joker trailer.
Yeah, it gives a lot more context to what the movie is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I
I'm so on the fence about it.
I am too.
Yeah. I don't. I think it's going to be an interesting movie.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my prediction. I think it's going to be a good movie. I think it's going to be very weird as a Joker movie.
Mm. But that's kind of what they were going for, right?
Yes. So what I said before, I'll stand behind it. I want this movie to be violent. I want it to be R. I want it to be polarizing.
It is R, so you got that.
I mean, we're seeing him smoking cigarettes. We're seeing him do all sorts of things that make this movie feel like it's going to be a very intense experience. Mm-hmm. As to whether or not it's going to feel like an actual DC comic book movie, I really don't care at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you.
And spoilers, it's not going to feel that way, right? It's going to be an offshoot, almost like what if scenario movie, and just looking at the trailer, it looks, and they did this on purpose, by the way, like a Scorsese movie. And one of the things that I thought was absolutely fascinating was I didn't realize that Robert De Niro was in this.
Really?
Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. Of course, was in a movie called The King of Comedy, where he played a comedian that was in such dire straits to get on a Johnny Carson-like show that he took the show hostage and then eventually does a set. So, like, there's a lot of meta stuff in here for me that I'm like, okay, you're pulling on my heartstrings. Cool. If they make any reference to The Departed, I'm going to get up and just walk out, though. I'll just get up and walk out.
It's not funny. It's your bad takes.
If it does that, then it will deserve all the 10 out of 10s that it's been getting, you know?
Are you in?
I'm gonna see it.
I know you have to see it, but like, are you in? You know what I mean?
I still am so on the fence about it. I have a feeling it's gonna be a good movie. What I'm not excited for is like the cultural aspect of it. Of like, I feel like I can tell that this is gonna be a movie that, like, at least when I was in college, like all the dudes had like 300 posters and Fight Club posters.
You mean like Taxi Driver, yeah, or like Scarface, like posters?
It's going to be one of those like movies Guy where Fox, like everyone is just like, is just going to like overhype it.
You think dudes are
going
to bro out too much on this?
Yeah.
I don't see this being that.
I know people are like, it's been getting really good reviews. It's been getting a 10. And I'm just like, oh, I hope that it doesn't get that like treatment, because that's kind of what I feel like.
Laker's head in here is responding to someone, but he brings up, he's like, it does have Taxi Driver vibes for sure. It really, really does. And I lumped in Taxi Driver into that the Fight Club area, but really I don't think anyone really glorified that movie. I think Taxi Driver is one of those like very classic movies you look at, you're like, oh.
But that movie is about glorifying, like, that movie is about like the glorification of like violence.
No, I watched it about a month ago.
No, yeah, but
it is about like
him going crazy, and at the end he becomes famous for it.
Yeah, that's true. You know that's what I mean? True. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yes. So it is a commentary on that, but it's not about it's about our obsession with how we glorify violent and violent acts and things like that. But it's also very much about depression,
right,
very much about isolation and what leads someone
and
to
falling apart, really,
that level of psychoses.
It's a good movie.
which I think that they're drawing a lot from the looks of it, to bring it back to Joker.
Yeah.
That looks like what this character is going through. Someone who maybe is a little psychologically damaged. We see him with his therapist, and he's like, you're not listening to me. You're just saying the same thing over and over to me, and it's not helping. Which I think is another meta commentary on mental health in our world, in our country right now. And I think Joaquin Phoenix is a phenomenal actor. This looks beautiful. It looks fucked up, but it is still weird for me to be like, it's a Joker movie. Like, if this were just a movie about a guy going crazy who dressed up like any other thing else, I'd be like, I'm in, I'm 100% in, but it's weird that the Joker is just like, it's not clicking for me just yet.
What made me feel a little bit like, oh, I don't know about this, is the scene where all the people are wearing the Joker masks outside, and it's like,
I think he's getting a fan base for like being crazy, which I think could be cool.
Yeah, it could. I'm interested to see how this take. This trailer definitely, for me, got me more interested, because like now there's clearly more depth to this movie, and like, depth. So I'm in. I feel like this trailer did kind of grab my attention a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Than previous ones.
Also, please, I'm just not looking forward to a billion Joker cosplays for the next 5 years, because we just ended it.
Yeah. That's going to happen. If this movie's good, that's going to happen.
I know.
Yeah.
And if it's not good, it'll still happen.
Yeah, it'll still happen. It'll be less.
I forget. Somebody,
because then they'll be doing it like jokingly, you know, versus like,
I don't think people were doing that about the Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah, people like,
were they doing that? Wasn't a thing.
Oh yeah, that
was 100% a thing.
Yeah, it was.
The Joker and Harley Quinn couple cosplays all the fucking time.
I don't know. I stopped looking at cosplay a long time ago.
Let's move on to our next trailer, Black Christmas.
Looks fun.
Yeah, right?
This looks like just a fun horror movie.
Yeah, we watched this last night in the theater, and I was like, this sounds oddly familiar, because this was a 2000...
You
it was
leaned
a
over and you
movie.
Said Black Christmas, and I was like, oh, Joey's seen this trailer before.
No, so it was a 70s movie, and then it came. There was another one in like the mid-2000s that came out with like a bunch of people, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Michelle Trachtenberg and a bunch of people. I think it's going to be fun.
What I don't like about it, though, is... Oh, my God. Yeah, I do remember this movie. Yeah. They have Cary Elwes in the very first scene. I was like, he's the killer. Clearly. He's clearly the bad guy. And I was like, but I won't know until I see the movie or until I finish the fucking trailer and you hear him and see him as the bad guy. You're like, why would they do this?
Okay.
Why would they do it?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't know. Maybe he's just like, we have a lot of... Maybe he's the teacher and that they pull the line from that. But I'm like, he's either going to be the red herring or he's going to be the killer. It's annoying. Stop making Cary Elwes a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's a bad person. We know that.
Yeah, the shots in this trailer that's like the weird culty like hooded figures thing, that was not in the 2006 one. That was just kind of a slasher
that
serial
was a weird
killer
shot.
One. So like, yeah, the culty stuff, I'm like, maybe they won't go the
like
serial killer part.
I think they go, I hope that they're going to go this like weird cult fraternity thing where it's like, we have to sacrifice, you know, this.
I think that would be a more interesting story than like serial killer that turns its victims into cookie, like Christmas cookies.
Is that what this one was?
Which is
about?
The 2006 one, yeah.
An escape maniac returns to childhood home, who is now a sorority house and begins
I don't
to
think
murder
people
his first
eat them, but
one by one.
I'm pretty sure just like with like a cookie cutter.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That would hurt.
It's been a while since I've seen the other movies, so. But that was a defining factor, and I was surprised that they didn't show that in the trailer.
But I'm interested in this one. I think if it comes around and Joestar wants to go, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do it.
Nick Nack, you think you're going
to
see this one?
I'll watch it when it comes to Netflix. This is not something I'm going to race out into the theaters to see.
Unlike our next trailer, Bad Boys for Life. Oh, man.
I feel like I should call Josh McCougar for this.
Yeah, you
How do
can
we feel
if you
about
want
it?
To.
Yeah!
Call Josh McCougar.
Why do you have to do it that way? I don't understand. You guys made fun of me for so long.
Let's Man, I never use Siri. Like any voice activated
I don't know
stuff.
That anyone does other than Nick.
Let's see if he answers.
Do you think he's doing his show
He
right
might
now?
Be doing his show right
hey,
now.
Buddy.
Hey, Josh. You're on Screencast with me, Kevin, and Joey, and we just started talking about a little movie I think is an indie film starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence called Bad Boys for Life.
Man, what a great indie flick. It's all about crowdfunding.
It really is. It's so cool that Patreon allows Will Smith to still have a career. Everyone in our chat wants us to call you because we want to get your reaction on this trailer. Where are you at with this? Where are you at?
You know, Nick, there are points in your life when, you know, lightning strikes and you realize that you've just seen perfection, right? Like, you know, the first time you met your wife or the first time you had pizza or the first time you had a buffalo wing or the first time you tried whiskey, right? And then, you know, that first time you
That's
saw Bad
list.
Boys 2. And then when that Bad Boys for Life trailer came out, you got that fluttery feeling in your stomach, you know, that feeling of, I'm witnessing perfection. I'm witnessing what I've waited 16 years for. And then they deliver. It doesn't matter that Martin Lawrence has put on a little dad weight. It doesn't matter that Will Smith is an ageless SOB. It doesn't matter that somehow Vanessa Hudgens got in this movie and we didn't. What matters most is they hit every single note we wanted, and January 17th can't come soon enough.
It really cannot. That's I'm 100% with you. I don't know what retirement home they dug Martin Lawrence out, and maybe they have to bring him back because his curfew's at 6 p.m. or whatever, but God bless them for doing it. God bless the team for putting that together. And I'm just going to give a shout out to Puff Daddy for providing the Bad Boy song, Bad Boys for Life, that goes behind, and then that dope-ass remake in this trailer. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
It really, really is. Soundtrack. I mistakenly said that at the opening that was a Ferrari, but that's clearly
that's
a Porsche.
Porsche.
That's my bad.
It's a beautiful
one.
Porsche.
Because, you know, in the first one, he drives a Porsche. The second one, he drives a Ferrari.
That's right.
Now he's back to the Porsche. You know, I mean, you can't all be trust fund.
Well, of course, we have to have that great. We had that great scene where he was like, he goes through the specs of his Porsche, and he's like, "This is a Porsche. This will beat that car. It will beat that car." And he was like, "Will it?" And he's like, "I don't know." And then they beat the car, and it's great. All right, Josh.
How are you guys? I'm missing you guys.
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. We can't wait to see you again when you come back up. And we have to catch up. But for now, we have to go back and do the rest of the show and talk about this trailer and Jojo Rabbit.
Hey,
Joey, so,
hey, Kevin. Love you guys. We'll see you
Bye.
You too, bud.
Thanks, man.
You got it.
Bye.
What a gem he is.
I'm 100%
I'm in, but man.
It looks bad.
Martin Lawrence. Oh, I said it when we saw the first images. and I'm saying it now. God, it's cool they're going the route of like, oh, I need to retire.
He's old. I mean, yeah. Look, he's got glasses. He's wearing they have the glasses joke. There's one joke funny. In here that hits very, very much for me. It's when the new team is singing.
Bad boys,
what you gonna, and Will Smith's like, no, and then Martin Lawrence is like, you fucking up the lyrics, and they took a long time to learn, because that was the joke in the first couple, that they just, they don't know the actual lyrics to it. I'm in, yeah. Okay, God bless him.
I just realized that one of the guys in that scene, the new class, is the guy from that, The Sun Is Also a Star movie.
Oh yeah!
Mm. I was like, "Why do gorgeous. I know him?"
It just cuts to these five
giant
models
man.
Mm-hmm. Of beautiful human beings with Kevlar vests on. That's what Bad Boys is all about. Fuck realism. And they got the captain back, which is great. I love that guy.
He's so good.
Yeah,
and he's such a good like police sergeant captain, yeah. You know, guy. He nails it every time. And the last trailer, the one I'm most excited for.
Yeah.
Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Man, this looks so good.
I was already in with the little teaser that they had put out previously, but this is just like, oh, cool. This movie is going to be like, this movie is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait for it to come out.
This is hitting on all cylinders for me. And I honestly think this is going to be one of those that like gets a nod for the Academy Awards. Because I think if they're able to turn this around and make it poignant, which it looks like they will be doing, I think it's going to be fucking phenomenal.
It looks so good. It feels so Wes Anderson-y.
It very much does, but it is Taika's directing it, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll say it's
interesting how much it feels like a Wes Anderson film. The color, the like
humor,
what we saw,
timing.
The humor and like the like
cinematography.
Edit. Yeah. Everything just kind of has that feel, and it's cool to see another director using a similar style that's gonna we know is gonna be very different. Like comedy's gonna be such a big part of it.
Yeah.
But also it looks like some real shit in there.
It also looks I mean, the reason why I know that Taika has a very similar style in some regards to Wes Anderson, but this really does look like Moonrise Kingdom.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah. Where it's like I think I'm just drawing that parallel because it's
there's
a bunch
kids.
Of kids in uniforms.
But again, like I kind of feel like that's on purpose. Like
Rockwell in them, don't they?
But they do both have Ed Norton was in
Ed Norton. Rockwell was in another one.
A lot of people say Rockwell, poor man's Edward Norton.
How dare you? How fucking dare you?
I'm not saying one's better than the other.
100% different. 100% different.
They look a lot alike. They
look a lot alike. I think it's just a fascinating, it's going to be a fascinating story. What better way to tell the innocence of
childhood through Nazi youth.
I mean,
it's
honestly, I think it's genius.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it's brilliant too.
The kid who realizes like if you just spend time with someone who's different than you, like they're just human beings, right? We have that great scene where he's like, the two of them are talking, him and his imaginary Hitler friend, his little buddy Hitler, where he's like, I know what we should do. And the kid says, negotiate. And Hitler says, burn the house down and blame it on Winston Churchill. I'm like,
it's very
this
good.
This is great. So this is going to be. And then the last scene with the kids, with the little chubby kid with the rocket.
Drops the thing.
And then it's like, it's not a good time to be a Nazi. It's fucking, this is going to be great.
I want to say this is probably the movie I'm most like excited
most anticipated.
For.
Yeah.
Do I know when it's coming out? No idea. I really wish I had noticed that.
Look that up.
Because I want to see it. I want to see it right now.
Look it up when it's out?
Yeah.
October 18th.
Yes.
Oh.
Fucking A, right around the corner. All right.
Buddy. Yeah,
very
buddy.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like kind of a little scare because Disney was like commentating and like how they were nervous about.
Yeah.
Like,
they were we don't want to put this out.
Yeah.
And then they put out the trailer. And I think everyone was just like, no, we want this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like that was like one article and it.
Yeah.
Never went anywhere.
But it was one of those things, like, now knowing what, like, the full movie is, but, like, just knowing the premise, like, I could totally see Disney being like, nope, we're scrapping that shit.
Well, I think that the premise is interesting, like, him finding a Jewish girl being hidden in his house.
Yeah, but just, like, the...
Yeah, sure.
The
fact that, like, someone is dressed up as Hitler...
Yeah.
And is his friend giving him advice.
Yeah, I mean, it is
a
very
bold move.
It's a taboo subject, and I think they're treating it properly, and I think that this is the best. This is why making movies like this that are satire and use humor to get across some of these ideas is very, very important. I'm very glad that Disney decided to put this out, because
this is a Fox movie, right?
I'm sorry, I thought you said Disney.
Well, Disney
bought Fox. Well,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And also, shout out to Rebel Wilson. Because yeah. Who's playing?
Oh, that's right.
Wants to burn all the books.
Ram. It's like, it's time to burn books.
I hate Rebel Wilson so much.
I fucking love her so much.
I go back and forth.
I think she.
Do you remember how bad that movie was?
Which is
still the worst movie we watched all year.
The Hustle.
The Hustle?
Oh, yeah, that one looks bad.
Terrible.
I thought you were going to say, isn't it romantic? And I was like, that wasn't that bad.
Someone was watching it on the airplane in front of me, and I was like, I don't need to watch this.
The problem with Isn't It Romantic is that Isn't It Romantic was a movie where she gets stuck in a PG rom-com, and so they had to make it PG. If that was that movie was like more of an R-rated movie, it would have been fucking hilarious. Hilarious. You can't put constraints on Rebel Wilson. You gotta let her and Melissa McCarthy just run free and say whatever the fuck they want.
Can't put them in a box.
Does not do it for me.
Melissa McCarthy,
is she in that too?
No.
Or just separate?
I'm drawing parallels because they have very similar like improv
comedic styles.
I think Melissa McCarthy is one of the greatest comedic actors of our time, and I'll stand by that.
That's a take.
She makes me laugh.
I don't know about that.
So fucking hard in Spy and in The Heat that I just can't. I can't fathom a world without her. One day she'll die, and I'll just kill myself.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Don't need to be alive anymore.
She's different than she was in Gilmore Girls, and I thought she was so good in Gilmore Girls that I don't vibe with this.
Well, no one watched that show.
That's not true. You brought it back.
I've seen so many Gilmore Girls episodes.
Show.
That show
Terrible
goes on
show.
Forever. All right. Now let's talk about what is coming out to streaming platforms near you. I've picked my favorite of the lists. But you should go and look it up because there's some good stuff coming out of Netflix and Hulu and nothing on Amazon until like the end of the month, which is weird. This week we've got Superbad on Netflix
United States. Fake ID. That's one of my favorite comedies.
We watched it at Kevin's bachelor party. We just put it on. Remember when we were in the suite and we just put it on and then we watched the entire thing.
It's a good movie.
We were hammered.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Superbad is one of those, if it's on TV, I will watch it every single time.
And then on Hulu, in the United States, Demolition Man. I love this movie
now
so
Now all restaurants
much.
Are Taco Bell. That's a future I want to live in. Sandra Bullock, Sandy. There it is.
And then, Amazon Prime. No, nothing.
Nothing on Amazon Prime?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing new came out and is coming out till the end of the month.
Petey Popoff gives a shout out to Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids. Fucking great movie. She was so good in that. That's a movie that like broke her into like a mainstream star.
Yeah.
God, she was good.
I haven't watched it still.
Oh God, it's fucking
I fun. Want to.
It's a really good movie.
I just keep forgetting.
A lot of people gave them all shit because Paul Feig made that Atrocity, which was the newest Ghostbusters. But you forget he's actually a fucking phenomenal director and he's great when the movie calls for improv.
He also directed or wrote a bunch of episodes of Parks and Rec?
I want to say 30 Social. Rock. But it might have been Parks and Rec.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, oh man, why couldn't you do better?
Or Community, maybe.
Maybe Community. I don't know. Something good.
I mean, you named three good things. Parks and Rec. Meh.
Oh, man. He made that Simple Favor movie, too. He's just been hit or miss lately. Bad.
I really liked A Simple Favor.
Really?
At the end, you were like, this is good. I'm liking where this is going.
It's one of those, it's kind of fucked up, but I liked it.
He directed some episodes of Arrested Development.
Oh, that's
what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Great show until it was awful.
Yeah, he directed stuff like here and there. Like
we don't acknowledge anything after season three.
An episode of 30 Rock. He did an episode of Parks and Rec. He did a couple episodes of Weeds, stuff like that.
Weeds
is a weird show.
Also Everyone directed some episodes of
The Heat again.
I will never get over the fact that you've talked about The Heat for so long, and somehow Josh picked it for the final Jeopardy question.
Genius of that movie.
Okay,
One of the most mind-blowing things to ever happen to me.
Here's what I honestly believe people go wrong with The Heat: is you watch it on TV and you watch the PG-13 version where everything's bleeped out.
I've never watched it on TV.
You gotta watch the R-rated.
You're talking to people that don't watch
movie.
TV, Nick.
I don't have cable.
You gotta watch the R-rated version, maybe the uncut version.
Yeah, it's just I don't. Like your demographic you're talking right now are like
when Sandra Bullock goes into Melissa McCarthy's bathroom and she goes, "You're out of toilet paper. All I found was coffee filters." And Melissa McCarthy's like, "Yeah, they're the same thing. I was there. I bought coffee filters. Why would I buy two of the same thing?" Fucking genius. Okay.
It's not good for your toilet.
Wildly different.
Yeah.
Comedic styles.
Out in movie theaters near you. It Chapter 2.
Let's talk about it.
You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it.
How was it?
Oh, man. I loved it.
Oh.
It is so long.
It is
Before we get into that, I apologize, but Lexi Gunner brings up the Wu-Tang Saga on Hulu.
Oh,
it's apparently available. And
I can only pick one, so Demolition Man.
Sorry.
That looks really good, and like I really want to watch it. But if I'm recommending one, it's Demolition Man.
Yeah.
But the Wu-Tang one has, I think it's Shameik Moore who voices Miles Morales and shit like that.
Oh, cool.
Part of it. So, I don't know if you want to take that.
I do actually want to watch that.
Okay.
But, like, I fell apart this morning. Everything was going wrong. I lost a page of the printer, so I didn't get a good glance at what was on. It Chapter 2. I really enjoyed it.
So,
really? Good.
Yeah, we're not going to go into spoilers. We'll go spoiler free for this.
No spoiler bros.
It is long. It's very long.
It's almost 3 hours.
It's 2 hours, 50 minutes.
Yeah, we read that report back, and I was like, oh, if, as long as it keeps my attention, I'm fine with it being this long. That was like 2 weeks ago, yeah, I think. Yeah. Tim was like, it's too long. It's too long. I got time to bleed. I was like, Tim, you got time. Yeah. You're not doing anything at night.
It like, you feel it, but like not in a bad way. Like it's telling, like there's, I don't want to go into spoilers again, but like where it goes, like I like the ride that it took us.
I felt like it was a little bit long. But I don't know that I could tell you like what to cut necessarily.
Mm. Interesting.
It's just a long movie.
But overall, definitely worth going to see it in theaters.
100%.
I didn't love it like Kevin did. I really liked it still. But I still think it's worth going to see in theaters. I think that they did a phenomenal job casting the older version of the Losers Club.
Maybe Jessica Chastain.
So good.
But
so
even good. All the other Professor characters Charles were Xavier. Like, you see the... like matching facial expressions and stuff. It's like, man, I don't know. Like they worked so hard to nail.
They do a couple,
the look and the dynamic, and I feel like they killed it on both sides.
They do a couple like transitions that are like fade in to like from face to face, and it's like, I didn't realize this kid looked so much like this adult. But you guys nailed it, and the dynamics between some of these kids is perfect. Like they somehow captured and embodied the childish like relationship that they had and just translated it to them being full grown adults.
That's awesome.
And it's so good. If you've seen the second, like, you know, if you've seen the It movies, like, you know, it's,
I don't remember how the whole series ends. I mean, I do remember them obviously, like, back when I saw the TV made for TV Stephen King with John Ritter or whatever. I remember them facing off one more time against Pennywise. But I don't know where the story really
goes.
They
add a lot more details that are in the books that I think, like, watching the movies as a kid, like, I always thought the TV movies great.
Yeah.
But, like, watching as an adult, just being like, it's just, like, things just happen. There's no explanation. Here we're given a little bit more explanation, more backstory. That's why they have the 2 hours and 50 minutes, because, like, they really, I think, do a good job utilizing it. And, like, this giant, it's like a 1,200-page book that they're able to pull all this stuff and...
Yeah,
jam it full of like exposition in like a good way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Weird non sequitur as far as books are concerned, though. We were doing a Order of the Phoenix on MCU, and someone left another piece of trivia in the chat saying that they used a smaller font for that book than they did for the other books. So they used like an 11.5 font, which would have made, if they used a normal size font they used for us, it would have made it one of the longest books.
Interesting. Yeah.
They might be totally full of shit. I didn't bother looking it up. But.
I feel like they're probably printed differently. Like,
I don't know. I'm just saying, long books are great, I guess, was my point of that.
Sure,
I can get into it.
Sure.
I can get into it.
Chat also talking about, I feel like we also have to mention Bill Hader. Holy cow.
He's great.
He's good in this.
I've gained so much respect for him because of Barry. And like, we see so much of that like good acting since then. Like, it's just good for him.
He's great.
Shout outs for him. He was.
You talk about a guy, because if I'm not mistaken, he produced Barry as well, right? Like, he and his production team produced
he
Barry.
He even wrote one episode.
I think he wrote it, yeah.
The amazing episode.
Which one?
The fight, the little girl and the karate dad.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen this. Is it this season?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen the whole season yet.
Oh.
I haven't caught up. It's fine.
You're fucking up, man.
Oh, I'm going to watch it.
I think it's episode 4.
I had a problem where I couldn't watch it because I got winked, but now I'm fine. I'm okay.
Oh, yeah. That was really sad.
It was hard for me, but
we
I got
don't talk about it, though.
I got through it.
Yeah, it was too real.
But no, Bill Hader, shout out to him. He can crush comedy and drama. Fucking A. Mm-hmm. What a talented guy. And super tall. Fucker.
Is he? Is he really tall?
Yeah, he's tall. He's like probably 6'3", 6'4". Mm-hmm. Let me see.
How tall is Bill Hader?
How tall is Bill Hader?
Why would you just not Google it?
But yeah, I think that...
Oh, shit, he ain't that tall anyway. That makes me like him more.
Okay.
Maybe Henry Winkler is just really small.
I think that, like, I don't know who... you have the cast open?
Yeah, I'm
who
pulling it up because I didn't know...
Isaiah
there
Mustafa?
There were three...
Was really good.
I knew half of them, and I didn't know the other half.
Yeah. But I felt like the casting for everyone was
so good.
Very good.
So, yeah. What the guy that played Mike was in Shadowhunters and Horrible Bosses. Yes,
I don't know him from anything.
Still don't remember that.
Oh, Nikita. Great series.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy I didn't really know either.
Well,
there it is. What's his name?
Yeah, but I highly recommend it. I think you should go and watch it if you liked the first one.
Yeah, it's I think it's 100% worth seeing.
It's long, though, so be ready for that.
Yeah.
You know,
also,
go pee.
I wouldn't recommend seeing it just if you want to see the Birds of Prey teaser.
Oh, what cool. I totally forgot about that. I'm glad you're bringing that up. Birds of Prey.
It was 30 seconds,
got
maybe.
A 30-second teaser that is not online anywhere.
They're making that movie.
And I was like, I'm very excited to see it because I have a feeling it's going to be a bad trailer. I thought it was awful. So bad.
I don't even think that we saw enough of it to say... I have no more information on it than I did before
but
I saw
was,
that.
What, her coming out of like balloons? Was it walking towards the camera? Right. And well, I mean, it's a okay. Sure.
Her coming out of the sea of red balloons makes you think that it's gonna start.
Right, right. Okay.
Sorry, spoilers.
So this is why you know Isaiah Mustafa, because he's the Old Spice guy.
Oh,
yeah. Someone in the chat was
great
just
body. They hit that well.
Interesting.
Shout out to him. God, those commercials were a fucking. Those were such
so
a thing.
Good.
They were such a thing.
Yeah, her coming out, Margot Robbie coming out and being like, "I'm so over clowns." I was just like, "Oh Jesus!" I mean, that's not even how the like Suicide Squad ended with you being over clowns, right? Didn't.
No, I think he saved her and she went back with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And if I'm not mistaken,
that's what I thought. Did she then return to the group? I don't know. That movie was awful.
Fucking terrible.
Isn't the next Suicide Squad movie also apparently not related to the last Suicide Squad movie?
Nobody knows.
I think Will Smith's not doing it anymore, right?
No, yeah. Will Smith's not doing it. Yeah. They casted someone else really cool for it, right?
Yeah, Peter Capaldi from Doctor Who.
No,
he's really cool to me. So,
Jack Courtney's still in it, though.
Really?
And Joel
Birds of Prey, though.
That's the first one. I'm sorry, that's the first one.
Man, like, I hope that gets uploaded sometime so you guys can see.
Yasmin says Idris Elba.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah. I have no idea what that movie is going to be.
None.
Sorry, which one?
Doesn't look Birds of Prey.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just weird that they put the trailer before it and that it is like it plays right when the movie should be starting. So it like it's just a bunch of red balloons and you're like, oh, it's interesting they're going to start with this balloon thing. And it's just like, oh, no, it's Margot Robbie. Oh, we're actually getting the trailer.
Great.
But before that, we got the DC splash. So we knew it was a DC thing. So it wasn't like a big surprise because they gave you the hint.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It was dumb. I can't believe this movie's still being made. Cool.
Yeah. I would be very interested to see what they're going to put together for that first trailer.
Mm-hmm. All right. So last week I asked you for your topics. What D23 news are you most excited for? Some of you guys wrote in, like Mitch Krasen.
And Mitch Krasen.
The thing I'm most excited for, Falcon, the Winter Soldiers, number one, Frozen 2, which I feel like it's coming out to movie theaters, but okay.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Encore. The hell's Encore?
Well,
Encore's the Chris Pratt Holland movie, right? No.
No, that's like Soul. Or no, that's the...
No, yeah, that's Soul. No, that's not Soul.
To be fair, you asked like what D23 stuff in general. Not
you're right. My apologies.
Oh, Encore is the Kristen Bell series where she reunites musical casts from...
Oh, I fucking love that
idea. That is interesting. I could see that being a lot of fun.
I really want to be in season 2.
I'm never going to watch it because I hate music.
I feel like I could do it. I feel like I could crush Julian Marsh again. Step right back in like it hasn't been in 20 years.
And just hit that bell.
How dare you.
Little triangle.
How dare you?
But there's so much more, and I feel like I'm going to watch 90% of what they talked about. That's awesome, dude. I totally agree. There's a lot of cool stuff that I'm excited for.
I'm so excited.
Salty Bob just didn't understand the prompt. Says, you're all crazy and need to listen to Andy. Nirvana the Band, the show, is one of the funniest shows I've ever come across.
Did you talk about Nirvana the Band, the show
at all? Yeah, I talk about it
Here's the thing about Andy. Okay.
Such a cool concept. The way they work around copyright infringement to get pop culture references in the show is a work of genius. Would 100% recommend it. What do we like about Andy?
Here's the thing about Andy. Yeah? Is we all love Andy, right? We can all agree that Andy's probably the best of us.
He's
an innocent, beautiful little boy.
I don't respect him at all.
And we love him. What he thinks is funny, I think the reason why he works so well, especially with me on KFAF, is because My idea of what's funny is like stuff that's actually really funny. His idea of what's funny is just not good. But I think that mix is really where you get the magic of KFAF. So it's not his fault. It's just maybe he, I don't know.
Are you saying to be clear,
Andy likes Nirvana on the show and you like the Heat?
Oh, she got you. She got you, you old man.
That is exactly what I'm saying, Joey. Yeah. The Heat, arguably top five funniest movies ever made.
God,
it's ever made. You're going with ever made. What?
Maybe top 50. Maybe top 50. I'm backpedaling.
It's so funny that like that makes me want to watch it. And it's like, I know it shouldn't.
I honestly think you might. If you watch it with the right mindset, I think you'll think it's fucking hilarious.
Also, Josh McCuga, he actually has good opinions, you know?
He does. He does.
Does he?
He recommended Peanut Butter Falcon, I can't stop talking about it.
Yep.
It's true.
Great movie.
All right. Next, we have Daniel Edmonds. Danny Almonds. He put in parentheses. I don't know. That's his handle, you think?
I have no
There's no
idea.
Ad symbol. Maybe it's pronounced Danny Almonds. I don't know. D23 blew massive chunks of awesome into my face. I should not be this excited for a Christmas movie starring Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader, but alas, I am. Between the exclusive Disney Plus shows, I believe D23 was perfect. Bring on November 12th. I think he's right.
I'm so
excited for this movie.
We're so close.
All right, next week's bronze tier topic, something like that.
Sure.
TIFF is happening. The Toronto International Film Festival is this weekend. And I want you to look around, see if there's any good trailers that we should be watching. Let us know in there. Have you ever been to a film festival? If so, tell me about your experience. Should we start going to them?
Definitely.
That feels like something would be fun.
TIFF is a blast. Rohrbeck goes, and he's probably there right now.
He is. Mm.
We should have the Rohrbeck Minute next week because he watches like every movie humanly
I was telling Kevin, he watched five movies yesterday and has like another five on his schedule.
Dude, that sounds like
today.
So much fun. I would love to do that.
I bonded with him real hard when we, what city were we in?
Toronto, probably.
No, it wasn't Kansas? Toronto. It was Kansas City? No.
He was at EGLX last
Nebraska?
Year.
Nebraska?
It was EGLX last year. We did a little meet and greet, I think, and he was talking. He was like, I saw this movie. I was like, God, you're fucking great. That's a great life, man. I've always wanted to go to TIFF. I've always wanted to go to the bigger film festivals. I just never had a reason to, because it's like you got to take a whole week off your life and do it. But I do. You know what I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Sundance when it's snowy out, and I want to dress like Jim Carrey did in Dumb and Dumber, where he's got like all the tassels and like the big like Western
that.
Style.
Why would
hat.
You do that? Why?
Hilarious.
Okay.
Like leggings,
uh-huh.
Uggs, tassels. And I go and people go, that's a guy who knows how to make a statement. Does he have a movie at this place? And I go, no, I'm not talented enough to do that. I had a movie that went to film festivals.
What's the statement?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. All right. Good enough. Yeah. Can you keep just putting movies in, or do they have to be made that year?
It has to be made that year, and normally, and this was
can
actually
a different cut of it.
One of the reasons why we couldn't get Waiting for the Punchline into TIFF was because we'd already screened it as well. So not that they would have accepted it, but they were like, "You're excluded because it's already had a public screening."
You
have to be they're very selective, especially the big ones like TIFF.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's go next year.
I'd be 100% down.
Let's go hang out with Matt.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on Content. I hope everyone enjoyed their screencast. I am Kevin Cole, and you can follow me at Kind of Funny Kevin. You can follow Nick at Nick underscore Scarpino.
Underscore your life with a little Nick.
You can Jesus Christ, the nose thing really made me uncomfortable. Oh man, it's alright. You can also follow Joey. He's a
we
cat.
Have to use those.
You can follow Joey at Joey Noel on all of the social medias. Go and watch a movie. I recommend it. Yeah. And if you don't want to watch it, still watch Peanut Butter Falcon. Watch both. They're great. Now cut the lights. We're done.